within our joint domicile, then he shouted for me to attend upon him. "Harry! Harry! Harry!" I hastened to obey. But before I could reach his room, jumping 3 steps at a time, he was stamping his right foot upon the landing. "Harry!" he cried in a frantic tone. "Are you coming up?" Now, to tell the truth, at that moment, I was far more interested in the question as to what was to constitute our dinner than in any problem of science. To me, soup was more interesting than soda, an omelet more tempting than arithmetic, and an artichoke of 10 times more value than any amount of asbestos. But my uncle was not a man to be kept waiting. So, adjourning, therefore, all minor questions, I presented myself before him. He was a very learned man. Now, most persons in this category supply themselves with information as peddlers do with goods, for the benefit of others, and lay up stores in order to diffuse them abroad for the benefit of society in general. Not so my excellent uncle, Professor Hardwig. He studied, he consumed the midnight oil, he pored over heavy tomes and digested huge quartos and folios in order to keep the knowledge acquired to himself. There was a reason, and it may be regarded as a good one, why my uncle refused to display his learning more than was absolutely necessary. He stammered, and when intent upon explaining the phenomena of the heavens, was apt to find himself at fault and allude in such a vague way to sun, moon, and stars that few were able to comprehend his meaning. To tell the honest truth, when the right word wouldn't come, it was generally replaced by a very powerful adjective. In connection with the sciences, there are many almost unpronounceable names, names very much resembling those of Welsh villages. And my uncle, being very fond of using them, his habit of stammering was not thereby improved. In fact, there were periods in his discourse when he'd finally give up and swallow his discomfiture in a glass of water. As I said, my uncle, Professor Hardwig, was a very learned man. And I now add a most kind relative. I was bound to him by the double ties of affection and interest. I took deep interest in all his doings, and hoped some day to be almost as learned myself. It was a rare thing for me to be absent from his lectures. Like him, I preferred mineralogy to all the other sciences. My anxiety was to gain real knowledge of the earth. Geology and mineralogy were to us the sole objects of life. And in connection with these studies, many a fair specimen of stone, chalk, or metal did we break with our hammers. Steel rods, lodestone, glass pipes, and bottles of various acids were oftener before us than our meals. My uncle Hardwig was once known to classify 600 different geological specimens by their weight, hardness, fusibility, sound, taste, and smell. He corresponded with all the great learned and scientific men of the age. I was, therefore, in constant communication with, at all events, the letters of Sir Humphrey Davy, Captain Franklin, and other great men. But before I state the subject on which my uncle wished to confer with me, I must say a word about his personal appearance. Alas, you will see a very different portrait of him at a future time, after he's gone through the fearful adventures yet to be related. My uncle was 50 years old, tall, thin, and wiry. Large spectacles hid to a certain extent his vast, round, and goggle eyes, while his nose was irreverently compared to a thin file. So much, indeed, did it resemble that useful article that a compass was said in his presence to have made considerable deviation. The truth being told, however, the only article really attracted to my uncle's nose was tobacco. Another peculiarity of his was that he always stepped a yard at a time, clenched his fists as if he were going to hit you, and was, when in one of his peculiar humors, very far from a pleasant companion. It's further necessary to observe that he lived in a very nice house, in that very nice street, the Königstrasse, in Hamburg. Though lying in the center of town, it was perfectly rural in its aspect, half wood, half